Welcome to our deep dive, everyone. Today, it's An Inspector Calls.
Oh, yeah.
By G.B. Priestley.
Classic.
It is a classic. Mm. And we thought we'd take a look at it and really kind of dig deep into how Priestley uses his characters to deliver this really powerful message
mm-hmm.
about gender and social responsibility.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that by taking a look at this, it can really help you guys with your essays and your exams.
Yeah, particularly looking at those characters as constructs.
Yeah.
To deliver a very specific message.
Exactly.
So it's not just a case of like learning what happens in the play. It's thinking yeah. about why Priestley has presented the characters in this way.
Yeah.
And what he's trying to do.
Okay, so I think the best place to start with that is with the women.
Okay.
In the play.
Right.
We've got Mrs. Burling, we've got Sheila, and we've got Eva Smith.
Yeah, you've got those three female characters, and they're all very different.
Mm.
And they represent different facets of society in the early 20th century.
Yeah, and Mrs. Burling is so interesting to me because she just seems like she's so traditional.
Yeah, she embodies those sort of expectations of the time. And it's not even just necessarily about being upper class.
Yeah.
That she really reinforces these expectations through her actions and words. There's a quote, for example, where she says to Sheila, "When you're married, you'll realize that men with important work to do sometimes have to spend nearly all their time and energy on their business. You'll have to get used to that, just as I did."
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember reading that and thinking, gosh, she's just resigned to this idea that she's less important than her husband, and she's expecting Sheila to just accept that as well.
Absolutely. And that shows you something about her character. But it also shows you about the way that patriarchy is ingrained within society and even accepted yeah. by the women themselves.
So it's not just about what they do, it's also what they say
mm-hmm.
and what that represents about the society.
Absolutely. Each line of dialogue is almost like a clue to understanding the social and political climate of the time.
But the play is set in 1912, and it wasn't actually performed until 1945.
That's right.
So why should we care about that now?
Well, that's what's really interesting, Priestley, is deliberately using those two dates as bookends to frame his story.
Hmm.
He wants his audience to think about what has and hasn't changed.
You mean he's making the audience think?
Yes.
Oh, wow. We used to think that way.
Exactly. He wants them to look back at 1912 society hmm. and consider how much or how little progress has been made. By 1945, you've had two world wars. Women had taken on roles traditionally held by men, challenging the idea that there were separate spheres for men and women.
Okay.
And so he's really highlighting that tension.
So both those dates impact the way that we mm. view the play
yeah.
and the characters and their actions.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've spoken about Mrs. Burling,
mm-hmm.
but what about Sheila?
Okay, so Sheila is a really fascinating character because she undergoes this transformation
yeah,
throughout
yeah.
the play.
Yeah, she really does.
She starts off caught up in the sort of trappings of her privileged world.
Yeah.
But the inspector's visit acts as a catalyst for her to change.
Yeah, and is there a good quote that we could use?
Oh, there's so many.
To illustrate that.
But think about the point where she says to her mother, "But we really must stop these silly pretenses. The fact is you just didn't like her, mother." So she's actually challenging her mother's attempt
yeah.
to justify her actions, and she's showing this newfound sense of social conscience.
Yeah, and she's really seeing through all of that
yes.
kind of pretense and superficiality.
Absolutely, and she's realizing the true impact of those actions.
Yeah.
So she almost represents a kind of hope within the play
yeah.
that even those from a very privileged background can change.
But Eva Smith's story is really tragic.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like she had much hope at all.
No. And she's really crucial to the play because she represents so many working class women who were just exploited and silenced by the system.
Yeah.
She becomes the symbol of social injustice. Her story highlights the tragic consequences of ignoring our responsibility to other people.
And I find it so interesting how she never actually appears on stage,
yeah.
but her presence
mm-hmm.
is all over this play.
Yes, and that's deliberate on Priestley's part. By keeping her off stage, he's allowing the audience to project their own understanding of the plight of working class women
yeah.
onto her character. And so her absence makes her a much more powerful symbol.
Yeah.
She represents everyone who is marginalized and forgotten by society.
So it's almost like her silence speaks volumes.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so we've spoken about the women in the play, but what about the men?
All right, so now we're getting into some of the more complex characters.
Yeah.
Each of the male characters embodies a different aspect of masculinity
yeah.
and how it intersects with power, responsibility, and ultimately the consequences of their actions.
I'm intrigued. Let's take a look at the men then.
Okay.
So the men in an inspector calls. I always found Mr. Burling particularly frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
He seems so focused on himself
yes.
and his social standing and kind of out of touch with reality.
Absolutely. And again, this is deliberate on Priestley's part. He's almost presenting this caricature of capitalist patriarchy. He just doesn't see the needs of anyone outside his immediate circle.
He's always talking about community and responsibility, but he doesn't really seem to practice what he preaches.
No, and his words and his actions completely contradict each other. You know, there's that great quote where he says, the way some of these cranks talk, and right now, you'd think everybody has to look after everybody else, as if we were all mixed up together like bees in a hive community and all that nonsense.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like he thinks he's above it all.
Yeah.
That the rules don't apply to him.
Exactly.
Especially when it comes to his treatment of women.
Yes. And that's a really, really important point. His treatment of women is appalling. And it's deliberate on Priestley's part.
Yeah.
Because he's exposing that hypocrisy of a society that claims to value women, but simultaneously exploits them.
Can you give me an example of that?
Yeah. Think about how he responds when the inspector starts asking questions about Eva Smith. He's much more worried about protecting his reputation and his social standing than he is with actually, you know, understanding the truth or taking responsibility.
Yes.
He even says to Sheila, "Don't talk nonsense, Sheila. I'd never dream of doing anything like that." It's just denial.
Yeah, it's like he's trying to control everything that's being said and silencing anybody who challenges him. So he really does seem to represent everything that was wrong with society at the time.
Absolutely. He is a warning. He's a cautionary tale about what happens when you have unchecked power and privilege. But then you've got Eric, his son, who's a much more complex character.
Yeah, he's troubled, isn't he?
Yes.
You really feel for him, even though what he did was awful.
Yes. And it's important to remember that Priestley doesn't give us these kind of one-dimensional villains or heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are characters who are flawed,
yeah.
who make mistakes, who have to face the consequences. Mm-hmm. And Eric really embodies that.
So how is he different then to those kind of expectations of how an upper-class man should behave?
Well, think about how he interacts with Eva Smith. He's drawn to her because she's different.
Mm-hmm.
She's not like the women in his social circle.
Mm-hmm.
He sees a person. He doesn't just see an object. But then, of course, his actions are shaped by his own insecurities and the toxic culture that he's been brought up in.
So it's almost like he's trapped in this cycle of repeating the behaviors of his father.
Absolutely. And it shows you that those societal pressures and that upbringing can have really devastating consequences.
Yeah.
So we've got Mr. Burling representing this very rigid view of masculinity. And then we've got Eric struggling to break free from that. Where does Gerald fit into all of this?
Yeah, because he seems quite different at first.
He does, doesn't he?
He seems charming and respectable.
Yeah, and this is what makes him so dangerous, because underneath that surface is this belief in his own superiority and a willingness to exploit others when it suits him.
So his sexism is almost disguised by this respectability.
Absolutely. And this is Priestley being really clever, because he's showing us that those societal expectations can be just as damaging as outright cruelty.
So he's not as different from Mr. Burling as we first thought.
Not really, no.
They both just exploit women in different ways.
Precisely. And that's why it's so important to look beyond the surface, to analyze their words and their actions. Priestley is really asking us to question those traditional gender roles and think about the consequences of a society that just prioritizes power and profit.
But there's one character that we haven't talked about yet, and that's the inspector.
Yes.
And he just feels different.
He does.
To all the other characters in the play.
He's almost like a mythical figure.
Yeah.
He's there to challenge them and force them to confront their hypocrisy.
Okay, well, let's have a look at the inspector then.
Okay.
I've always found the inspector such a strange character.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to know everything.
He does, doesn't he? It's like he's orchestrating everything to expose them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's not what you expect from a sort of 1912 police inspector.
No, exactly. Priestley subverts those expectations.
Yeah.
Instead of giving us this sort of booming voice, authoritative figure, he gives us someone who's much more calm and measured and even compassionate. Think about the way he speaks to Eva Smith.
Yeah.
He describes her as a pretty lively sort of girl. Which on first reading sounds maybe a little bit patronizing.
Yeah.
But then he calls her very gallant.
Gallant.
That's a strange.
It is a strange word.
Ideas.
And it's usually associated with, you know, bravery, nobility. He's elevating her status.
Yeah.
He wants the Burlings in the audience to see her as a human being worthy of respect, not just a victim.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
And that contrast then really emphasizes how cruel the Burlings have been, because they just don't seem to have any empathy. No, and you've got that really powerful quote from the inspector where he says, "Public men, Mr. Burling, have responsibilities as well as privileges." You know, he's directly challenging that capitalist self-serving worldview.
Yeah. And then there's that final speech.
Oh, yes.
The fire and blood and anguish.
It's chilling.
It's like he can see the future.
He's almost like a prophet.
Yeah.
He's warning them about the consequences of their actions.
Yeah.
And it's not just about, you know, this individual case. It's about society as a whole.
So he's almost more than just a police inspector.
Yes. He's the embodiment of Priestley's message.
Yeah.
You know, he's the moral voice of the play.
So what do you think is the most important thing that we need to remember about this play?
I think the most important thing to remember is that it's not just a whodunit.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the power dynamics of society, how those characters are shaped by their social class, and the consequences of ignoring our responsibility to other people.
So it's not just about understanding the plot.
No.
It's about those deeper themes.
Yeah. Yes. Think about the language, the symbolism. The way he contrasts the characters to make us think.
Yeah.
It's a play that demands to be discussed and debated.
It's incredible how something written so long ago can still be so relevant to us now.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's testament to Priestley's skill as a writer and his understanding of human nature.
Well, I know I've learned a lot today.
Me too.
So thank you for joining us, everyone. And we hope you'll go away and explore the play.
Yes.
With a fresh perspective.
Enjoy.
See you next time.